It's never too late. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. It's never too late. 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 Sound like a broken record there, doesn't it? Well, raising children is an eternal job. It's a job that parents have from the beginning of time through the endlessness of time. Now, what does it mean it's never too late? Well, Ellen has children, and her children are in their 40s, and she says, I wish that I had told them this, I wish I had told them that, and I said, Ellen, it's too late. If you haven't taught them when they were living at home with you, then it's too late. Your time has passed. Your opportunity has passed. However, I was giving Ellen, as I do all of us, a good big test. A good big test. It is never too late to exhibit courtesy. It is never too late, even though you had never done courtesy in your life. You've been a discourteous person all your life. It's never too late to be courteous for the first time. It's never too late to be honest for the first time. You may have been finders, keepers, losers, weepers sort of thing, you know. But the thing is, it's never too late to start being honest. To start realizing that if you ever pick up anything that doesn't belong to you, you're stealing. Regardless of whether it's just a feather in the breeze that doesn't belong to you, you're stealing. You're stealing somebody's feather. You say, well, come on, Herb Blair, do you start and stop? That's right, where do we start and stop? We want to build integrity into our life and into our world. Now, as we were saying to Dorothea, you would always turn money in that you find to the police and let them seek out the owner. And if they don't find the owner, the police are honest men. If they're not honest men, we shouldn't have them in the business. But they're honest men. We must believe in them. And if the police are honest men and you turn it over to them and they wait for some person to come in and announce that they lost something, and if they haven't lost exactly what you found, it's not theirs, you know. And then it's given to you because it is just, that is the procedure. Now, as Lucia said, it would be, she'd be hard put to make herself go to the police department and give them something that she found without any address or any details on it in the street. And that's true for most people, because that's the way we've been raised. We've been raised to be dishonest. We've been raised all of our life to be dishonest. Now, when's Dorothea ever going to start being honest? Well, the next time she finds some money in the street, she's going to think, Herb says that an honest person takes this to the police and says, I found this, and here's my name and address, and if nobody picks it up, that'd be kind of nice. But if anybody picks it up, bless their heart. And I don't care whether it's $10, $50, $1 million, it doesn't make any difference. $1 million, my God, you know. Yeah, honesty has many price tags on it, doesn't it? It has many things on it. Just like, how much would a woman sell herself to a man? You know, how much does she make herself available to a man for a price? And how much is it worth going out with your friends? And you have just gone to the doctor, and the doctor says, no more liquor, no more alcohol. You drink alcohol, and you're going to kill yourself sure as shooting because your body system can't handle it anymore. And so you're out with your friends, and your friends say, oh, come on, that's not true. That's a lot of malarkey. And so you just say, no, I'll have a Coke with you, you know, which is just as bad, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'll have a glass of water with you, or a cup of coffee. Hey, you know, and that's bad too, you know. I brought my own tea along, my own special tea. I'll get a cup of hot water and sit with you guys and talk and so forth, you know. And so what do the guys talk about? They talk about the problems of the world. And then you say to yourself, my doctor says I shouldn't associate with the problems of the world, because if I associate with the problems of the world, they'll be my problems. And I'll think that I have to solve them, and I think that I have to do something. Now, you see, when you start realizing that it's never too late, it's never too late. They say if you have been smoking all your life and you stop, the first year your lungs clean up a little bit. Next year, a little bit more. 5 years, your lungs are almost totally clear. And then in 10 years, your lungs, it's as though you had never smoked in your life. Something of that nature. And so, is it ever too late? Now, what if you have emphysema? What if you have other things that are built up upon that? Well, it's never too late to start on the right track. And when you start on the right track, you're not exacerbating, you're not making worse whatever it is you're doing. If you keep smoking and you have emphysema, you're just asking for a shorter ticket, you know. And that's okay. But that's what people want. That's what people. It's never too late. It's never too late to start teaching your family your values of life when you change them, or when you learn them and figure out what they are. Teaching your values of life to your family by how you live your life. You don't say to your son or your daughter, hey, if you find money on the street, you know, you got to turn it in. They'll say, Ma, what's wrong with you? That's not what you said before. You said finders weepers, you know, losers keepers. Losers weepers, finders keepers, you know, and whatever it is. But you see, that's kind of silly, isn't it? It's kind of silly. So, and your daughter and your son are going to say, Mom, you've lost your marbles. And you say, no, I got religion. No, I found value. I found principle. I found that if I'm going to have any values in my life, I got to start living them. Now, it's never too late. It's never too late to begin living them. Now, son, daughter, if you want to live them, that's fine. I tell you what they are, but that's what I'm living. But Mom, you're going to be such a freak, you know. Well, I like being that kind of freak. A freak that has values, a freak that has principle. Would you allow someone to do something? Hey, here's these guys, they're working for the federal government, and they run across these very precious plans, and they're high security guys. And then some alien person comes along who wants to buy it from them. And it doesn't matter what nation it is, and they want to buy these secrets. They say, hey, you're in the office that has that information, that's very high classified, I'll give you $1,000 for it, or I'll give you $100,000 for it, or I'll give you whatever. Well, that's fine. So the guy gets it, sells it to this foreign agent, and then he goes to jail. Because the foreign agent is really a rat. Not really, but he was in the business of ferreting out these people who are moles, who are trying to take government secrets and pass them on. Now, the secret that he would be passing on, and this makes it more fun this way, the secret he'd be passing on was the secret of the atomic bomb. And so the foreign nation would get the secret of the atomic bomb, make it, and then bomb our country. And destroy our country and take control, because they would use that more positively than we would, because we know how damaging it can be. But what is it worth to sell a secret like that to a foreign agent? What is it worth to you? Is it worth your job, for one thing? Is it worth your integrity, the security thing that you got, clearance that you got? Is it worth that? See, what is it worth? And what is it worth if nobody knew, if you never got caught? What is it worth to you? Can you live all of your life as a person who is stealing secrets? You know, that's a pretty tough thing. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who have pretty heavy-duty problems in their life. And if we could ever get to the bottom of that heavy-duty problem, it would probably be that they violated their own values somewhere. Now, it doesn't have to be the security of their country. It doesn't have to be something so big and so noble. It could be a very little thing, like they promised their child that they would take them to the PTA meeting, that they'd take them to the school meeting, and they didn't do it. And they promised their child not one day, but 2 days, 3 days. They promised their child, and they didn't do it. Now, just once would be enough for a person with great integrity not to take, to fulfill a promise. And he would have that grinding away in his heart as a tumor, as a cancer, as all these terrible things. That, you see, when we have these things, now, Herb, what if you ever got something like that? Well, I attempt to lead my life in as pure a way as I can so that I don't have that. Well, Herb, you had other things. Yes, and how did I respond to those things? How did I respond to anything that comes up in my life? How did I respond to any test that came up? And some of the tests are pretty terrible. Pretty terrible that we all get. And do we have the integrity? You hear me talk about values. You hear me talking about these things. You hear me talking about principle and stuff like that. And you don't really think that I mean it. And you don't think I mean it because you don't practice it. Because if I were to say to you, Ingeborg, if you think one bad thought about another person, one bad thought about another person, even if it is deserved, you're dead. Now, she wouldn't believe me. And you know, it wouldn't matter. Because if she thought one bad thought and she was dead, she wouldn't know that she didn't believe me. You know what I mean? She wouldn't know that she wouldn't. But that could be true. That could be very well true. But you're not dead. You're just building up aches and pains and problems in your body that make you feel very... Why don't you live to be 150, 270, 1,000 years old, a million years old, and never go to the doctor? You know? Wouldn't that be cool?
It is.
It is. But you see, when we live with our principles, when we live with our values, it's never too late to begin. You stop smoking, and then the symptoms and all that stuff clear out of your body naturally, but it's never too late. It's never too late to begin living your life in such a beautiful way that everything works out beautiful for you. Now, we're going to be having a seminar for Stefan in Mauer, Switzerland, and the seminar is for parents and for children. And a great deal of what we're going to be talking about is how parents can train children to be valuable, to like themselves, to be healthy, to get good grades in school. Interesting, huh? To do all these things. And you know what it's all going to go back to?
Them.
The parents.
The parents.
Yeah.
What do the parents believe about themselves? Do the parents say, oh, I always had trouble with that. I always had trouble with math. The kid's going to have trouble whether he was going or not. Mm-hmm. Or I hate vegetables. Mm-hmm. And the kids are going to hate vegetables, you know. You say, well, Herb, what happened in your family? You and your wife were basically vegetarian most of your life, and you're on and off again. And your son was not a vegetarian at all. He only ate meat and potatoes, you know, he just liked hamburgers, and he liked wieners, and he liked, you know, all that meat stuff, and spaghetti with meatballs and stuff. And then he got the message on being a vegetarian when he was about 20 years old from his dear friends that were into Hinduism and so on. And since that time, he's 52 years old now, since that time, he has never eaten meat at all. He has never eaten meat sauces, whatever he can control, you know. He never eat it. Now, he doesn't miss it. Now, he made a decision. He made a decision that was never too late. And you might say, well, he was raised on, you know, wieners and hamburgers and stuff. And he had what he wanted, you know. But he made the change. And he made the change completely. But now, it is never too late. And it's never too late for parents. You see, his mother and I we were on and off vegetarian. We would eat, and then we wouldn't, and we would do this. But we tended more toward the vegetarian type of things, you know, because that was pleasing to us. But we never said he had to or should or, you know, whatever. We made whatever it was that he pleased to have. And he came to that decision himself. What a powerful, wonderful decision for him to make for himself. Mm. Now, as we'll be working with the group in Switzerland, we'll be talking to these parents, and we'll be taping it, and it'll be on the internet. And we'll be talking to these parents about what sort of things would they like to have their children experience. And what sort of thing, and then we talk to the kids too, and we talk to them separately, not separately, but we talk to them to themselves.
One after the other.
Yeah, we talk to the parents one-on-one in front of everybody, mm-hmm. and then the, another session we talk to children one-on-one without asking the parents. We say, all right, now, what do you think of the idea of being a vegetarian, you know? And you get a lot of interesting responses. And you don't say vegetarian is good or bad. You don't say that they should or shouldn't. You just say, what do you think? And when they get done, they come up with some pretty interesting ideas. You know, kids say the darndest things, like Art Linkletter said, you know.
Yeah.
And they do. Now, what are we going to expect from our children? What are we going to expect from what they're doing? Well, they're going to be a perfect example, a perfect replica of what we believe or don't believe. Because if we are opposed to things, they will be opposed to it. Now, they may grow out of that. If they get away from the cigarettes and they're away from it for 3 to 5 years or 10 years, then it's out. When the children get away from the parents, you know, and they're no longer in that bigoted family or that very generous, loving family, then whoever the child is will come to the fore. Because the smoke damage will clear out of his lungs, the damage or the blessing will clear out of their body, and then they will make a selective choice by their self of what they want to be and what they want to do. It's never too late. It really isn't. We do it now. And when we do it now, we just have such amazing and wonderful things take place in our life that life is just filled with great adventures and wonderful experiences that we will never, 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 never forget. Now, are you ready to put new values in motion for yourself? Are you ready to realize if you dare have one negative thought in your mind, you're dead?
Oh, dear.
No, really, that's tough, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, but if you dare. Now, are you willing to be strong enough to even start thinking about that? Even start thinking about being master of your thoughts? Do we say master of your thoughts? Do we say thoughts are things? Do we say thoughts are the essence of all that we're working with? Then, my gosh, that should be something very seriously that we're working with. And you know yourself. You think bad thoughts about yourself. That's the worst place to. You think bad thoughts of yourself. And then, if you think bad thoughts about yourself, think of the bad thoughts you think about others.
Oh.
You know? Think of the bad thoughts you think about your mother and your father.
Mm.
Because your mother and your father have been absolutely lousy with you when they made you come in at a certain time at night. You know? They wouldn't let you go out and do what all the other kids were not doing either. You know, and they said you had to wear certain clothing, and they said that you had to go and get shots or have your teeth fixed. Oh, Mom, you're terrible, you know. And, you know, those build up little reservoirs of negativity in us that we sort of ignore and forget, because it's what every family has to go through, or does go through. Now, if your mom would say, all right, sweetheart, it's time for going to the dentist. And you say, but I don't want to go to the dentist. Well, if you don't go to the dentist, I will take you to the dentist to talk to him. And we will say, if this cavity is not fixed, then what's the next step? The cavity gets worse. What's the next step? You could have to have a root canal. Oh! If that gets worse, you could lose your teeth. And then what are the teeth connected to? Now, in reflexology and in acupuncture, the teeth are a very definite part of the total body picture. And when your tooth aches, it is usually something in your toe. A toe responds to a tooth. Well, if you've read anything at all about acupuncture, it has all these, well, that's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. Mm-hmm. It works and it functions. And you see, when you tell a child this, and the child says, oh, yes, well, I sure don't want to have any cavities in my mouth. I'm going to brush my teeth real good, and I'm going to go to the dentist and get these things taken care of right away. You know, even my baby teeth, I'm not going to let have get into problems. Some kids have problems. Why do they have problems with their baby teeth? They have too much sweetener. Mm-hmm. And how much do your parents love you? Do they give you white flour? Do they give you sugar? Do they give you all those things that are going to encourage your body to overwork and try to take care of the things that need to be done? Yeah. So it's not against anything. It's just learning what are the values of how to approach these things in the most beneficial way so that the parents and the children are both happy about it and so that the children are the winners rather than the losers. The parents have already gone through perhaps a losing stage with their own family, with their parents, because they didn't have Herb Byerly telling about never too late. But you guys do. Now, are you going to take advantage of it, or are you going to just let it sort of soak in and soak out and never go on to do anything, you know? Okay, think on these things. Now, is this the sort of stuff your absolute philosopher talks about? He's not talking about living in your community and getting along with your community. He's talking about living in yourself and getting along with yourself and going where God dwells in the very heart of yourself and getting a connection. And with that connection, doing all things that are right and good and beautiful. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.